I'd like to thank everybody for coming tonight. We are in our 11th or 12th year of the pre-Shavuos Shiurim. This is the first of four Shiurim. Next Thursday night, Rav Schechter will be here, Mirtz Hashem, to speak about Rav Soloveitchik and his memories. Rabbi Amar, the chief Sephardi rabbi of Eretz Israel, will be coming in 2 weeks. And in 3 weeks, Rabbi Kron will be here, hopefully culminating in Matan Torah in Shavuos, as we prepare ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah. I'd like to thank tonight our sponsors, Sharon and Jeffrey Freeling, Benji, Yoni, and Rachel, who are sponsoring in memory of their father and grandfather, Harry Ederson Tzvi Ben Yosef. An anonymous graduate of ours who is sponsoring Le'iloi Nishmas Aviva Esther Bat Yisrael, Avraham Zal, and Chaya Rivka Bat Gedalia Zal, and also for Eschus, for Rafua, Parnassa, and children for all of Klal Yisrael. I'd also like to thank Judy and Shimi Kalatsky, Le'iloi Nishmat Avram Naftali Ben Kalman Ruvein, Adolf David. It's really an amazing opportunity for us tonight to hear words of Chizuk from Rabbi Mansour. This week, we're going to read Parashas Kedoshim. And the Parasha begins by telling us that Moshe speaks Daber al Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, to speak to the entire Klal Yisrael as one. It seems unusual as to why this particular section is chosen to speak to everybody at once. And the Chassam Sofer explains in his Sefer a very beautiful explanation. Because he says we're dealing here with Kedoshim Tehiyu. And as Rashi and Ramban both explain, that Kadosh means parish, to separate, to withdraw. So one, after they withdraw from Dvarim that are Asurim or things that are permissible, one might get the misimpression that not only should they withdraw from physical items, they should also withdraw from the community. And the Chassam Sofer explains that that is not the point. While one is supposed to improve oneself, one is supposed to mechazek themselves and also mechazek those around them. Give strength in their learning and to be able to teach others. That is the whole point of Kedusha, not only to affect oneself, but to affect everybody else. So if one would get the misimpression that Kedusha means to refrain and to walk away from everybody else, no, it's only to walk away from material objects or for that which is usher. But in terms of community, one is supposed to be a vital member of the community, always encouraging, always trying to make others grow. And in a nutshell, that is who Rabbi Mansour is. Anybody who's ever heard Rabbi Mansour has always, after a speech, come away bigger afterwards, thinking of themselves how they can become a better Jew. Because he embodies all that is with, that is important about Kedusha with oneself, but also contributing to the greater Klal, always giving chizuk with his learning and with his teaching. It gives me great pleasure to introduce Rabbi Mansour was speaking about Kabbalah, Torah, and Nistar.
Good evening, Rabotai. Thank you, Rabbi, for that very generous introduction. I consider myself underqualified, being that I'm looking at the next speakers that are going to follow me next week and the week after, and the conclusion. You are following the rule of Hazal Ma'alim Bakodesh. So I'm at the base level, and then it only gets better from here. So that's the good news. It's a little difficult topic that I was told to speak about. It seems that the theme of these talks is Matan Torah, and they asked me if I can address the congregation on Matan Torah from the element of Sod, of the mysticism, of Kabbalah, Torah Nistar, or as they call it, Torah Hen. Hen is Chokhmat Nistar. I'm not a Mekubal, nor do I claim that I really have a handle on any of these esoteric topics. But I can only say over that there are four halakim of Torah, as you know, Pardes HaTorah. The Pardes is the Peshat, which is the basic level. Now, Rashi HaKadosh committed his life to Peshat. Many times he says, listen, lo bati ela lefaresh peshuto shel mikra. That's all I'm coming to do is try to give you the pshat. And we know how great Rashi HaKadosh is. And we cannot imagine, we cannot quantify what does it mean in Rashi, the one that explains our religion. As the Ibn Ezra, who was an outspoken, one of the Sefaradi Rishonim, he writes in one of his commentaries, he would say that all the Hachamim of Europe, he did not accept, except for Parshandata. Parshandata? Who's Parshandata? So he said, that's the Rashi HaKadosh, he's Parshandata, the one that interpreted our religion. That's Rashi that came to explain Peshuto Shel Mikra. Incidentally, there was one of the great rabbis that came to write a book, I think it was Rabbi Shimshon Mastropoli. He came to write a Sefer on Kabbalah. After he wrote his first copy of the Sefer, they came to him in a dream and they said, you're revealing too much stuff. It's too explicit. You can't reveal. It has to remain nistar. You're giving out all the secrets. So they told him, cut it up, make it shorter. So he curtailed it. He made it more abridged. They came to him in a dream again. They said, it's still too long. You need to cut it up. And he went again, he revised it and he shortened it a little. And they came to him a third time. He said by the time he got his final draft, he looked at his book on Kabbalah and it was almost word for word Pirush Rashi ala Torah. Which tells us that although Rashi HaKadosh came to explain Peshuto Shel Mikra, but even in his words of Pshat is laid in the deep interpretations of Sod. Then you have Remez, Remazim. Those are like the hints. Remez might be like a Rashi Tevot or a Gematria. Then you have Dirash. Dirash is the homiletic interpretations to the Torah. And then you have Sod. Pardes. In that order. There are those that have an aversion to Sod. No, this is not for us. It's Kabbalah. As if it's some sort of plague, God forbid, or something contagious, where if somebody mentions in a speech, Al Pi HaSod, right away they shut down. No, this is not for us. So Rav Chida writes that if you do not study the Torah Al Pi HaSod, you have a status of a pered. A pered is a mule. Because if you take the samich from Pardes, you have pered. As if he's saying one that does not involve himself in such a study is on the level of a hamor. Therefore, we cannot just discount it. I accept this responsibility tonight to represent this samich, the Pardes, and I know why I was chosen. Because Our ancestry is from Sefarad. Sefarad is known to have some of the greatest Mekubalim. That's why we're called Sefaradim, because the Samech comes first. Sefarad is Sod, Pshat, Remed, Remez, Drash. So therefore, to us, Sod is very important. So we reversed Pardes to Sefarad. So therefore, from my ancestry, it qualifies me to speak about this topic. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim to receive the Torah. He thought it was going to be a walk in the park. He said, I'll go up and get the Torah, give it down to Am Yisrael. Little did he know that there was a protest in Shamayim where the angels were protesting that Moshe Rabbeinu should not be able to bring the Torah down to the earth. They told God, Tenaho decha l'shamayim. Your splendor should remain in Shamayim. Such a Torah that was written 974 generations, tatka ad dorot, lefnei b'riyat ha'olam, and you want to waste it on humans, on earthlings? Tenaho decha l'shamayim. Let the splendor of Torah remain in Shamayim. So God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, answer them. So I have to answer them. Yeah, hold on to my kisak. I want to answer them. So Moshe Rabbeinu answers them and says, listen, Malachim, I understand you want the Torah, but what does it say in this Torah? It says, Kaveri Davi Kaveri Imecha. Are your parents? Malachim, do you have parents? No, we don't have parents. What does it say? Keep the Shabbat. Do you work 6 days that you need to take the Shabbat? No, we don't work 6 days. It says, don't swear my name falsely. Do you go to court? You have business that you have to make a Shavuah? All claims like that. Find the angels, they surrendered, they put the white flag. And okay, give it to Moshe Rabbeinu. The argument seems very childish. What, the Malachim didn't know they don't have parents? You talk it to Michael, Gabriel, Raphael. Michael, it says, Kaved Rabbi Kaved Imecha. Do you have parents? He's right, we don't have parents. What were we thinking? Well, he's right, he's good, he's right. What's that? Malachim didn't know that. It's such an elementary argument. You have to explain the Havamina, what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, what the Malachim was saying. I once heard from a great Mekubal in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Benayahu Shemueli, who was a Tamid of Rabbi Mordechai Sharabi, who was the Rosh Yeshivat HaMekubalim, Bet El in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, Tebaneh V'Tekonen. Rabbi Benayahu explained it to me like this. He said, Mashal Ma Hadavar Domeh, it's a parable. There was a very, very wealthy fellow that had three sons. And the sons moved away, and he was getting old. And before he passed away, he took a lot of his money, gold and silver and jewels, and he wrapped it up in a shirt, he tied it, and he went to his lawyer, and he said to the lawyer, give this as a yerusha, as an inheritance, to my son. The fellow passed away. And now the Yerusha, the will, reads, give the treasure to my son. And now there was a big debate amongst the children, because he didn't specify which son. So the first child comes along in front of the Beit Din and says, listen, I'd like to present my case why I deserve the treasure. It's well known I'm the firstborn. It's well known how much my father leaned on me. I did a lot for him. I did all his work. Whenever he needed something, I was there for him. The brothers will testify to that I was probably the closest to all the other brothers. So it's logical when he said, give it to my son, he means me. What son is he talking about? So the judge says, well, the truth is that's a very, very strong argument. I would give it to you right now, unless the other two brothers can say something that's more convincing. The second brother comes up and says, well, listen, it's no secret that my older brother here was very close to my father, but it's also well known that he moved out many years ago. I've been living down the block from my father. I'd been in my father's house every single day. So you're right, when it comes to the major things, they might call my older brother, but the day-to-day, I'm the guy. Back and forth, whenever my father needs an errand, he calls me. He's not going to call the other guys 100 miles away. And nobody could argue on that. And the older brother's nodding his head, and it's true, it's a man, he's not saying any lies. So the judge says, wow, that's, now I'm a little confused, because that's also a very strong claim why you should be the son to get the Yerusha. Let's see what the third son has to say. The third son says, well, listen, I really cannot contest what my other two brothers said. They're right, my older brother was the apple of my father's eye. The second brother really gave a lot of time to service my father, and I didn't do any of that. I'm the youngest one, I didn't have that relationship. But I'd just like to make one point to the judge. My father was a very calculated man. Everything he did was with hashbon. He was very methodical. I think it's very telling why he put the treasure in a shirt. I would venture to say, to the one that the shirt fits, that's probably the sign that my father was giving who gets the treasures. The judges were very excited from that. They said, he's got a great point. Who puts a treasure in a shirt? You put it in a safe box, you put it in a carton or something, you put it in a lock, put it in a shirt. It makes sense. So they take out all the treasures, and you can't imagine the glistening gold and silver and all the precious items, and they take out the shirt, and the older brother's a big guy. Big guy, they don't even have to try it on, or they forget it doesn't fit you. There's a small little shirt here, there's no way you're going to tear through it. So he's disqualified. The second brother, maybe, he sticks his hand in there right away, see, it's not going to go. The third brother, he puts the shirt on, perfect, as if it was custom made shirt made for him. So the judges said, listen, the shirt fits you. And therefore, it makes sense that whatever's in the garment becomes yours as well. You get all the jewels and all the hidden treasures. Said Rabbi Benayahu, you know what the claim of the angels was? The claim of the angels was, listen, you want to take the pshat? You can take the pshat. We're not interested in the pshat of the Torah. You want the Rashi on the Torah? That's what you're fighting for? Take Rashi on the Torah. We're not interested in the Rambans on the Torah. Take Ibn Ezra's, all that stuff you can take. The Remez, the Gematria, all that stuff, take that also. It doesn't bother us. Drash, you like to give homiletic interpretations, give that. But the sod stays by us. You're not worthy to learn Kabbalah, you human beings. Kabbalah is such a deep subject. This must remain in heaven. We're willing to give you 3 out of the 4 halakim of Torah, and that was their claim. Sod must remain in Shamayim. That's what it said. Tenaho decha l'shamayim, the hod of Torah, the splendor of Torah. Ma'enosh ki tizkerenu, ben adam ki tifkerenu. You're unworthy of such levels. This is Torah tamalachim. So what was Moshe Rabbeinu's claim? Moshe Rabbeinu said, you're right, Malachim, yeah, you have a good claim. Yes. It really, Torah Tassod belongs in the Shamayim with the angels. Which means, really, Kaved et Abicha ve'et Imecha, its true explanation must be esoteric according to the Sod. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, why did God clothe the Sod in Pshat? Why did he write Kabedet Abicha Vetimecha? Agreed, there's depth, there's treasures behind these words that are very mystical. But the clothes that God used to put all these treasures is pshat. Can you wear the shirt of Kabedet Abicha Vetimecha in the pshat level? It doesn't fit you. If God wrote it on this level, must be it's for us. And the one that gets the shirt gets the treasures that are inside of it also. And therefore we are zochet to the sod because of the pshat. Because if God wanted to give us a Torah of Kabbalah, just write the straight Kabbalah. Leave the Pshat, just write all esoteric stuff. Why didn't he clothe it in a Pshat? The shirt doesn't fit you. You have no application of Kabet et Abicha ve et Imecha, or Sheshet Yamim Ta'aseh Melacha, or Lotisa. That only fits us. So by default, once we get the Pshat, we get all the goodies that are inside the Pshat also. Terat the Malachim said, we have no argument. Give it down to the humans. So that's very important to know. So important is Sodot HaTorah that this was the contention of Malachi Elyon. They didn't want to give it up. And they understand how precious Torah is. That's how fortunate we are to receive this chelik. Now we have a custom. I know you do not have this custom, but I want to explain so you have a little understanding of minhagim. On Simchat Torah, by us, we give the children a candy that we only give once a year. You never see this candy in our tradition except on Simchat Torah. It's called in Arabic Mlabbas. Mlabbas is an almond that's covered in sugar. A sugar-coated almond. By no means is it the candy of choice. It's just given out because of them. Nobody likes it. Nobody asks for it. It's a tradition, but what is the Mlabbas? What does the word Mlabbas in Arabic mean? Mlabbas comes from the word malbush, because the almond is dressed. It's coated in sugar. So mlabbas, malbush. Why in the world would they pick such a candy for Simchat Torah? Because we're recognizing that that's exactly what the Torah is. There's an outer malbush, which is the pshat, the remez, and the derash. But inside, underneath the layers of sugar, when you suck away all the sweetness, then all of a sudden when you think the candy's finished, oh, then the treasure's inside. Then the almond surfaces. And therefore that candy symbolizes our Torah, the malbushim, and then the tochen of the sod, the Torah that's inside. That's why as well, those that study Torah Tassot are demanded to live a life like an angel. There's a lot of prerequisites before one studies this curriculum. Rabbeinu Ha'ari writes a whole list of conditions before you can enter this field. I'm sorry to say that this is the most abused of all the halakim of Torah. I go to Los Angeles a lot, and in the hotel that I stay in, right across the street is a big Kabbalah center, and I watch all the kooks that come into this place. Some are Jewish, some are not, and they all claim to be, you know, studying the Kabbalah. This is, of course, it's an abuse, it's a vilification of the holy books, it's vandalism, it's shameful. These people are not following the strict rules of what Rabbeinu Ari said. First, he said, you shouldn't get involved in this study until you fill your stomach with Shas and Poskim. Is anybody that didn't finish Shas, the Talmud, don't get involved in this yet. That's like studying quantum physics before you study geometry or algebra. Now I'm going to go straight to quantum physics, but you don't know the multiplication table. So what are you jumping to quantum physics for? I'm going to guess that a lot of those guys in the Kabbalah Center in Los Angeles went out to see Yuma Shas in MetLife Stadium. And if you look at the great Tzaddikim that studied this, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Rashbi, Darizal, the Benu Yitzhak Luri Ashkenazi, Baal Shem Tov, Nabi Israel Baal Shem. These were people that were able to sublime themselves to the highest levels of Kiddushah. Such a level that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai learned Havruta with Eliyahu HaNavi. That's where he learned Kabbalah from. He reached a level where he didn't have a Gilui Eliyahu. Gilui, that means a revelation. That's a big deal. If somebody comes along and says, I saw Eliyahu HaNavi in a dream and it's authenticated, he's guaranteed Olam Haba. Ashrei mi shera'ahu b'chalom. V'natan lo shalom. V'azil lo shalom. Rashbi learned with Eliyahu. That's not a Gilui. He studied with him every day. Nabi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov the same. And Rabbeinu Ari the same. They all studied with Malachim. So they were able to elevate themselves to this level. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah on that day, the Pasuk says, Alita Lamarom. Moshe Rabbeinu, you went up to the heavens, Shavita Shevi. You took the Torah that was in captivity. The Torah was in captivity. The angels didn't want to give it up. Shavita Shevi, you grabbed the prisoner. But based on the way we explained it tonight from Rabbi Benayahu, on that day that Moshe Rabbeinu came down, he took the Sodot Torah that were in captivity. And the rabbis explained, if you take the word Shevi, Shevi is Rashi Tevot, Shimon Bar Yochai. Alita Lamarom Shavita Shevi. You brought down the Torah of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. You know what the name of Rabbeinu Ari was? Yitzhak ben Shlomo, Luri Ashkenazi, Shevi backwards, Yitzhak ben Shlomo. On that day, Shavita Shevi, he brought down Torah Rabbeinu Ari. Not only that day he brought down the Torah of the Baal Shem Tov, Shevi backwards, Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. Years later, there would be a great rabbi called the Rashash. Maybe some of you heard of the Sidur of the Rashash. Rabbeinu Shalom Sharavi, who was one of the masters of Kabbalah. Today, you cannot open up Kabbalah without studying the principles of the Rashash. Not the Rashash in the back of the Gemara. That's somebody else. That's the Bishamuel Shtash, a different rabbi. This is the Mikubal Rabbi Shalom Sharavi. You know how he became Rosh Yeshivat Mikubalim? It's an amazing story. The Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshivat Mekubalim in Israel was a rabbi called Rabbi Gedaliah Hayon. Rabbi Gedaliah Hayon was a gadol to Kabbalah, and they would have a seder every day studying Etz Hayim. And the Rashash was a Yemenite fellow, and he was the Shamosh. He was the one that got them coffee. He was the attendant. And they'd be studying, and he brings a coffee, Turkish coffee, or whatever they used to drink, these rabbis. And nobody knew what the Rashash was. He didn't show himself, he didn't reveal himself. And all of a sudden, one day, they got to a very hard piece in Etz Hayim, and the Rabbi Gedaliah Hayon said, this piece over here is very difficult, and nobody was able to crack it. They said, we're going to go home for the Ben Astari, for the break, and we'll come back, and we'll continue, we'll try to crack it. Bishalom Sharabi came during the Ben Asdarim, he took out his pen, and on the margin of the Etz Hayim of Rabbi Gedaliah Hayon, the Rosh Yeshiva, he wrote the answer. They come back, all of a sudden they see this. They said, Shema Yisrael, who did this? What, this is the Yeshuv, this is brilliant. Rabbi Gedaliah Hayon said, we do not continue until we find out who wrote this notes in the margin. Finally, after great investigation, they concluded that the only one in the yeshiva during the Ben Asdarim was Rabbi Shalom Sharabi, the Shamosh, and they realized that he really was a hidden mikubal. He was greater than all of them put together, but he concealed himself. At that moment, Rabbi Gedaliah Hayon said, I officially resign as Rosh Yeshiva, and on that day they made the Rashash Rosh Yeshivat Mikubalim. And if they wouldn't have called him, he still would have been the Shamosh in Bet El. That's the level of Malachim that you have to be to master this knowledge. Totally effaced, with great humility. Otherwise the Chokhmah doesn't go in properly. Rabbeinu Ari says you should be at least 40 years old before you attempt to try to figure this stuff out. Even though there were some great rabbis like the Ben Ish Chai that already mastered it in his 20s. Rabbi Yosef Haim in Baghdad. But as a general rule, the Ben Ish Chai at 20 was maybe, on our level, he would be 150 in aptitude. So therefore he was allowed, let's say. And he has a teshuvah in Nav Pa'alim on the age that one is allowed to, and then he explains how he allowed himself to study it at an early age. So tonight, in the spirit of the talk, I'd like to just give you as an example Sodot HaTorah that you could hold on to. Something in the nature of esoteric, but that you could use. Something that's practical, that comes from the fourth level. You don't have to be 40 for this, what I'm telling you. I always tell the fellows in the shi'ur in Brooklyn, they say, oh, Rabbi, that's unbelievable, that sounds unbelievable, Kabbalah. I said, don't give yourself so much credit. If you understood what I said, it's not Kabbalah. If you could repeat it, then it's not Kabbalah. You're dabbling with it. You're giving your sodot, its principles, but it's not the essence. So what I'm telling you now is, of course, based on the principles of the sod, but it's something you could hold on to. And it's something I'm sure you're going to appreciate. This study is focused a lot on the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The study says, teaches us that each name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents another midah, another one of God's natures. For example, if you see the name Yudke Vavke, Havaya, that's Chesed, that's kindness. Then you know, Kibiyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in a good mood. It's important to know that, because when you're going to read Pesukim, you're going to see different Shemot. How are you going to detect the context of a Pesuk? You detect it from the Shem that's being used. If you see Elohim in a Pesuk, oh, Elohim Midat Hadin, then you know there's strict judgment going on. And every name has a different connotation, and it's a mitzvah to study the holy names. How do I know? All of you say Birkat HaTorah in the morning. You run right over it, but the Beracha says, V'ni'anachnu v'tze'etza'enu v'tze'etza'etza'enu v'tze'etza'etza'enu v'tze'etza'e kol amecha b'tisrael kulanu yod'e shemecha. And then v'lomde Torah t'chaneshma. Before you lomde Torah, a prerequisite to understand Torah, you have to be yod'e shemecha. You must know the Shemot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David HaMelech says there's great benefit to understanding the Shemot and their connotations. He writes in his Tehillim, Asagevehu ki yadashemi. God says, I protect you. You know why I protect you? Ki yadashemi. Because you know my names. So it's very well worth your while to study the names. Now you say, well, how many names are there? Well, Elohim, Havaya, maybe Shakai on the Mezuzah, three, four names, it's so difficult. Actually, there are 72 names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and each name is made up of three letters. These names are derived from three Pesukim in Parashat Beshalach, like Rabbeinu Ari revealed to us. So there's a lot of names that you never even heard of. So it's about to study them. I am coming tonight to teach you the names that influence Parnasa. Whenever anybody hears the word Parnasa, that already becomes relevant. Everybody's looking for a sigula for Parnasa. Somebody once asked me what my opinion is about the red string that they wear around their wrists that they get from Kevir Achel. They wanted to know if it's a sigula for Parnasa. I said, absolutely. Not only is it a segula for parnasa, it's a segula for osher, for great wealth. They said, good, we're glad to hear that. Let me finish. I said, clearly the one that sold it to you became very wealthy. For him it was a very good segula. But I don't know about the ones that are wearing it, how good they fared. So Rabbeinu Aris tells us, by the way, if I could just backtrack, the reason why I told you the story of the Rashash is because the Rashash is Shalom ben Yitzhak, and that's also Shevi. Shevi, Shalom ben Yitzhak. So therefore, in the word Shevi, Alita Rabbeinu Shevi, all the major Mekubalim are hinted. From Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai all the way to Rabbeinu Rashash. So Moshe Rabbeinu went up, Alita Lamarom, Shevit Hashem. You see, I'm not good in even giving it over. Shemot HaParnasa. The Shemot HaParnasa actually, they emanate from a pasuk that the Gemara says you must say every single day. And that is a pasuk in Ashre. This pasuk is the ikar pasuk where parnasa comes. Our custom is we open our hands when we say poteach et yadecha to receive the shefa, as if. One time in our synagogue in Deal, New Jersey, I was sitting next to the Knesset member Aryeh Deri. He came to visit us in the synagogue. The way I make poteach et yadecha, I open my hands like this. He puts his hands together. So he told me, Rabbi Mansour, you're putting your hands wide, the parnasa is going to fall on the floor. You have to close your hands. So I told him, Arya, you limit God. If God sees my hands wide, he's going to send me a wide parnasa. You put your hands like this, he's only going to send you a small parnasa. I never thought of that. But the segula panasa is not in the hands. There are three shemot that one should have kavana in. The first shem is the rashetevot of poteya et yadecha. There's a shem called pe alif yud. Easy to remember. Poteya et yadecha. Now what do you mean have kavana? What do I have to do, Rabbi? I never had kavana before. Besides Pirush HaMilim, I never did this before with Shemot. What does that mean I have to do? Do I have to go to the Mikveh first? Netilat Yadayim? No, just, you have to have Kabbanah. Imagine that name in your head when you say Poteach et Yadecha. Just think, Peh Aleph Yud. Very easy. You got the first Shem. The second Shem, he says, is actually the Sofet Tevot of Poteach et Yadecha. Het Taf Chaf, Poteach is a Chet, and Hatach. I'm allowed to say that word because Hatach also is a Hebrew word. Hatach is to cut. If you want God to cut you a check, so you have Kavana, Sofet Tevot, Hatach. You don't have to remember it, it's in the Sidur, you just have to look at the letters. In the Sidurim that we use in our synagogue, it's written in the Sidur. Yechaven, Poteach Jadeka Rashidimot Pe'an Lefyud, there's a third shem, and that's the shem Samich Aleph Lamed. Ben Huari says, "Whoa, I know where you got the Pe Aleph Yud from, and I know where you got the Hatach from. It's the letters of the word. Where'd you get Samich Aleph Lamed? There's no letters there." So he said, "It's the Atbash of Hatach." Whoa, what's Atbash? That's part of the study of sword. You need to know different sequences of the Hebrew language. You see, in our alphabet, we can read the alphabet forwards, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. You can read it backwards, Tashrak, Tavshin, Neshkuf, and so on. And then there's another system called Atbash. Atbash is where you take the letter Aleph and you transfer it for a Tav. And the letter Bet is a sheen, at, bash, gar, dak, at, vav, etc., etc. So in the system of atbash, if you take hatach, So the het corresponds a lamed, and the taf corresponds, I'm sorry, the het represents a samich, has, and the taf represents an aleph, and the chaf represents a lamed. So you have samich, aleph, lamed, the atbash of hatach. Oh. Here, as we see, it starts to get confusing. But that's what you have to know. I once asked a mekubal, I used to give a shiur when I was single. I was 18 years old, I used to give a shiur in daf in one of the synagogues in our community. There was an old mekubal from Syria that used to pray in the minyan. And I once asked him, I said, Rabbeinu, Yelamedenu Rabbeinu, Pe Aleph Yud, Sashetavot, Hatach Esofetavot, where did they get the Samich Aleph Lamed? He goes, oh, Atbash de Hatach. I said, I know Atbash de Hatach. But, from where to where? What do you mean? It's not in the Pasuk. Shev Beni. So I sat and he explained. He said, you see what happens. When people get to Poteh et Yadecha, everybody has Kavanah. You see the people shaking their hands. Everybody has a different movement. Like I'm the wide, you have the narrow, but everybody's diligent. Everybody has concentration. Why? Because you're talking about money. And everybody likes money. Everybody wants money. Whereas the rest of the tefillah, when you're praying for all the other stuff, you pray with half a heart. So the rabbi said, you have to know, although money is necessary in life, but everybody's going to die one day. And as a result, that's not the main focus of life. The main focus should be to collect Torah and mitzvot, which is the real asset that you can bank for eternity. So the rabbis wanted to temper your lust for money, so they used Hashem Samich Alef Lamed, which is Rashi Tevot, Sof Adam Lamut. Which really is telling the guy, calm down. You need Panasah, but you're not going to take it with you. There are more real profits that you can take in this world, so they wanted to almost balance it with that Shem. I accepted it, and to me that's the same covenant I have till today. I didn't hear anything else. Now you've all received semicha, you're officially mikubalim. See that? Now you have kavanot. If you open up Sidur HaRashash, that kavanah is in the Sidur HaRashash. But you don't have to worry, because the Ben Ish Chai brings it in his halachot for the amateurs. He says, even the amateur, even the novice can have this kavanah. It's easy. And the benefits are great. You cannot compare somebody that has these kavanot to Poteh Yadecha to somebody that just says it plain. One is going to the vault and asking that the money in the vault should come to him. Someone else is coming with the keys. The shemot of the keys, the mafterot. So when you just ponder it in your mind, it does much more. It activates the shemot. I like to say hadush. Gemara Berachot that you all know. The Gemara says, I'm going to tell you the way Rav Hida explains this Gemara now, according to the Kabbalah. You see, once you finish learning Shas, you have to go back and learn Shas al Pi Yasod. There's no question about it. I'll give you an example of Shas al Pi Yasod. The Gemara says, in Berachot, which you all learned, you have to say, Kol ha'omer tehillah le-David b'chol yom, whoever says Tehillah le-David twice a day, guaranteed Olam Abba. So the Gemara says, well, what's so special about this Perek of Tehillah le-David? Ilema, maybe you're going to tell me, because it's written in the Aleph Bet sequence, and anything that David HaMelech writes in Aleph Bet sequence must be important, because he wanted you to remember it. That's why he wrote it in Aleph Bet sequence. What about Tehillim Kuf Yotet? You like Aleph Bet? Kuf Yotet's written eight Alephs, eight Bets, eight Gimals. So you get a bigger bang for your buck if you read the Kuf Yotet. So the Gemara says, it's not only the Aleph Bet. It's because it's got the Pasuka Poteh Chadecha, which is the Ikar Pasuka Parnasa. Oh, that's what the key is? Poteh Chadecha? So why don't you read Halel HaGadol? There's a Halel HaGadol that we have a Pasuk, Noten Lechem Lechol Basar, Ki Olam Hasto. So if you're interested in the Poteh Chadecha, there's another chapter that solves that. So the Gemara answers, Ela De'ika Tarte. It has both. It's got the Aleph Bet sequence and the Poter et Yadecha. That's the pshat of the Gemara. Rav Haida says, if you look at the pasuk Noten Lechem Lechol Basar, which is a pasuk of Panasa as well, God gives bread to all creation. You're going to have to find one of the holy names that I just mentioned to you in that pasuk, because that's the key of Parnasa. So he says, if you take the second letter of each one of these words, Noten, what's the second letter? Taf. Lechem, what's the second letter? Het. Lechol, what's the second letter? Chaf. Oh, Hatach is there. Hatach is Noten, Lechem, Lechol. The second letters are Hatach, Otiyot Hatach. So Rav Haida says, the Gemara is saying that if you're interested in Hatach, why don't you say Noten Nechem Lechol Basar? So the Gemara answers, no, De'it Betarte. This has two Kabarot. This has Pe' Alef Yud and Hatach, where Noten Nechem Lechol Basar only has one. The Gemara was comparing how many Shemot you're going to get. So it goes, Ela De'it Betarte. You got two. And according to Rabbeinu Ari, it's really three. But it means two that are explicitly in the pasuk itself. So you see, once you become familiar with Sod, you say, wow, what a different way of looking at this Gemara. That means Ravina, Rav Asher, Bechamai, Betelel, Abayel, Rabba, they were all Mekubalim. If Rashi wrote his Pshat according to the Sod, Kalba Omer, Ben Merosh, Kalba Omer, Tanaim, and Amoraim, they were Mechaven to Sode, Sodot, Shal Torah. We just came out of the great holiday of Pesach. You know, Pesach is the time of year that we're judged on Parnasah. Pesach nidunim ala tibu'ah. As you know, all the Jewish people on Pesach became instant millionaires. When we left Egypt, v'harichen yitzu b'rechush gadol. Everybody inherited, the Midrash writes, at least 100 donkeys laden with gold and silver. Instant millionaires overnight. And therefore, our custom is on Shavu'ish and Pesach, we have special tefillot for Parnasah, because that's the day the Jewish people receive the Parnasah. And Pesach, we're judged for that. You know what the holy books write? Why do you think we call the holiday that we're judged on Parnasah Pesach? Because Pesach is Rashi Tevot of all the Shemot of the Parnasah. The Peh is the Peh Aleph Yud. The Samech is the Samech Aleph Lamed. And the Het is Hatach. Oh. Incredible. There's so much stuff that we have no idea exists in our religion. Ask somebody, what's Pesach? Pesach, he passed over our houses. Okay, yeah, that's the way they learned in kindergarten, and you're 50 years old and you're still parroting the kindergarten explanation. You didn't upgrade, you upgraded everything. But your interpretation to Pesach is still on elementary level. You ask him, Mekubal, Pesach? Oh, Pesach. Shemot, three Shemot. There's a famous Mishnah, you all know it. Mishnah says, Ezu Ashir Asamea Bihalko. Many interpretations to this Mishnah, you all know. Who's the happy, who's the rich man? The one that's happy with his share. It seems, according to the Mishnah, wealth is not defined by decimal points or how much money you have in the bank. It's defined by your attitude. If a person's happy, he's rich. Before I say what I intend to say, I'd like to say a special chiddush that I once heard from the chief rabbi of Israel that's going to be visiting you in a few weeks. Hashem Yishmeru V'Chayehu. Chief rabbi said, you know who a wealthy man is? A man that has his health. You have two eyes that work. How much price would you pay for an eye? Somebody came and asked you to buy an eye from you. You wouldn't sell it for $1 billion. You wouldn't sell it. And if a person's lucky to have two functioning eyes, a person has his teeth that he's able to chew his food. A person has his hands that he's able to use them in function. A person has his legs. Lo alein velo alechem. We all witnessed what happened in Boston this week. In such an act of terror, where for no reason innocent people that just came to run around and have a good time in the park, which they're allowed to, and all of a sudden they come home without legs. And a person says, Baruch Hashem, my legs are working. I'm the richest person in the world. What would a person that has his legs blown off, what would he pay now to get them back? And Baruch Hashem, most people have them. So the chief rabbi explained, Ashir is Rashi Tevot. Einayim, Shinayim, Yadayim, Raglayim. That's the biggest Ashir. The one that has these organs, there's nobody richer. To me, I don't need another pshat after that. I'm satisfied with it. But since we came here tonight to look at everything through the lens and the prism of Sod, I'll explain this Mishnah al piyas Sod. What? Even Pirkei Avot al piyas Sod? Everything al piyas Sod. Sod al piyas Sod. Ezo Ashir HaSamiya Be'alko. There was a great rabbi, Rabbi Baruch Mimeshbuj. Meshbuj is not in Syria. Meshbuj is in the Ukraine. I make a trip every year to the Ukraine, to the city of Meshbuj, so I could go visit the Baal Shem Tov and make tefillot in his synagogue where he used to learn. And right next to the Baal Shem Tov is buried the Abderav, the Ohev Yisrael, the great Sadiqim in Meshbush. This was said by Rabbi Baruch in Meshbush, one of the rabbis in this town of the Baal Shem. He said amazing. He said, one of the great ways to draw Parnassah to you is to be happy. People that are positive, the shefa comes down to them. But people that are negative and are pessimists and are always down, the shefa is blocked. A t'nai for success is attitude, he said. Specifically, simha. And we know it. If a person has a salesman in the store, the guy's always upset and sad and complaining. He draws bad karma to the whole place. And there's other people that walk in, oh, today will be a great day, and we're going to make a lot of it. They're always happy, and things go wrong, they spin it the right way. The simha brings the parnasa. There was once one of the great bankers, Mr. Edmund J. Safra, alav shalom, which we intend one day to build a synagogue with his great name on the front of our doors. B'merabi aminu amen. Mr. Safra had banks in Lebanon. He had one worker who would always complain. He was always complaining about his job and stuff. So he told him, you know what? You look like you're burnt out a little. Take a couple of days off. So he sent him to the mountains for a few days. After a few days, he called Mr. Safra, I'm planning on coming back to the bank. No, take two more days. No, I'm good. I'm rested. Two more days later, he calls, okay, I'm going to come back. Take the weekend. He's getting nervous. Why is he giving me all this vacation? Finally, after the week is up, he comes back to the bank. Mr. Safra meets him at the door. He tells him, what looks different at the bank? He looks around. He says, you weren't here for a week. Tell us what looks different. He says, I think you moved the basket from over there. Oh, tell me these minor. Tell me what's different in the bank. He says, the truth of the matter is the suffer. Nothing's different. It looks the same. He says, exactly. You weren't here for a week and nothing changed in the bank. It's running perfectly without you. Stop complaining. You're lucky you have a job. But he meant to tell him, we don't need your attitude here. The bank's running with you or without you. So nothing changed. It's the same bank. So he would say, Rabbi Baruch Mimeshbush, a t'nai for success is attitude. Positive. And he proved it. We just read on the Sefer Torah in Pesach. And everybody knows this. B'samachta be'agecha. Or like we say it, B'samachta be'agecha. And then what's the next three words? Ve'ayita. Ach sameach. You have to be only happy. So he said, what's the last letter of Ve'ayita? Taf. What's the last letter of Ach? Chav, and the last letter of Sameach, Chet, Hatach. So you see the Shem of Parnassah is in Vayitach Sameach. Therefore, if you want to get the key to the Hatach is in the Simcha. And that's why the Torah writes, Vayitach Sameach. This song everybody sing, Vayitach Sameach. The Mekubalim are thinking of Shemot when they're saying this pasuk. And that's the way he explains the Mishnah Pirkei Avot. Ezi hu Ashir, Hasameach. That's where it comes from the Simcha. You want to be rich, means be happy, that's it. With this, we added. You remember in the Torah when Moshe Rabbeinu was blessing the tribes before he passed away? Each tribe he gave a beracha. Comes to the tribe of Zebulun. What does Moshe Rabbeinu bless Zebulun? Semach Zebulun besetecha. Zebulun, be happy. Why does Zebulun get the blessing of happiness? Because what was Zebulun? Zebulun was the businessman. Zebulun was the one that went out on the high seas and he went out overseas to make parnasah. So Moshe Rabbeinu understood, you need to make a lot of money. So your beracha must be Semach Zebulun besetecha. He put the Shem Hatach with him. Ezu Ashira Sameach. Once you start with this field of knowledge, it's endless, as you can imagine. You ever hear of the Mishnah Pirkei Avot? Imen Kemach in Torah, Imen Torah in Kemach. They say Imen Torah, if there's no Torah, in Kemach. There's no sustenance. The Beracha comes from Torah. Amen, Kemah, but without sustenance, you can't have Torah. You need somebody to support it. You find it interesting that the Mishnah refers to sustenance as Kemah? We wouldn't call it Kemah. We would call it money. Even in the vernacular, we call it dough. But we don't call it flour. Why all of a sudden the Mishnah, Kemah? Kemah becomes the synonym for money. Well, if you know this introduction, I'll be a sword, it's easy. The first Shem of Parnassah is Peh Aleph Yud. Peh is how much? The letter Peh equals how much? 80. The second letter is what? Pesach. The Samech. Samech Aleph Lamed. How much is Samech? 60. 80 and 60 is 140. The last Shem is Hatach. Het. 148. Gematria Kemach. Since the Rashi Tevot of the Shemot of Parnassah equals 148. So the Mishnah is giving you a little remez of Piyasod, Kemah. What Kemah? 148, that's the Shemot. You see, once you have this key, so I can't believe it. I'm learning this Mishnah my whole life. That I know that word Kemah is laid in all the keys of Parnassah, Pisodos, Sodos, Torah. Last point. And then I'm going to say to be Hananya, and we'll call it a night. Then we're all going to float home on the magic carpet of Rabbi Yaakov Abu Hasera. We all know, actually, I'll tell you two things. We have a custom in our community that when the Hazan says the Kaddish, it's Amen, 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 Yashmer Abba Mabarak. And then when he says, Yehesh Shalom Arba Min Shemaya, Chaim Yisabab, Yeshua V'Nechama, we say a little different than you. Exactly. We scream out, V'Reva! The whole congregation, V'Reva! V'Reva means wealth. So one time in Ashkenaz, no offense to anybody, came to me. I said, oh, you Syrians, all you care about is money. And you don't care about money. You're from the Pirushim. You're like Rabbi Shimon with the carob tree, Pat Bamela. It's us that are worried about the money. Well, I accept it. I said, what's your claim? Well, Vereva. What's Vereva? I said, if I can explain it to you in depth, then you'll, Modeh? You explain it to me. He said, what are you going to explain? Vereva, it's money. I said, yes, but there's depth. Reva equals how much? Well, Resh. Vav Het. Resh Vav Het is 214. ורווח, you know, when you add a vav, it's revach ve'od revach. Like, v'yiten necha Elohim. Yiten v'yachzor v'yiten. So really, it's two revachs. 214 times 2 is 428. 428 is the gematria of the Shem Panasa Hatach. So when we say ve'revach, we mechaven two pa'amim revach, gematria Hatach, Shem Panasa. Whoa! Modeh ve'ozeh v'ruham. He couldn't believe that there's a depth. I said, wait, I'm not done with you now. In the Birkat Amazon, we have the same Kabbalah, our Nosach. We say, Ha'el Azanotara V'etalam Kulobuto Behen, Behesed, Berevach, Ubrahamim Rabbim. Berevach is Bet Revach. Revach times 2, 428, Gematria Hatach. That's the Kabbalah. So you start to look at every single word totally different. You're looking at the, not the shirt anymore. You're looking what's in the shirt. You're looking at the gold and all the pearls and all the wisdom that's under the sugar coating. This is the almond underneath the mlabbas. Last point. All of us know that the rule to become wealthy is the rule of ma'asir. Give you 10% and you get wealthy. Asir, bishvil, shetit asher. It's a good deal. You give 10% and God says, I'm your partner. I'm not asking you for 50, 60%. Just give me 10 and God says, we're 50-50 partners and you become wealthy. And everybody knows, ma'asir. As a rabbi, a lot of the questions that I get asked have to do with ma'asir questions. Because people want to give it correctly and they want to benefit. And they have a right because the Torah says you can challenge God when it comes to ma'asir. God says, don't test me. Lo tenasuoti. But when it comes to ma'asir, God says to the prophet, ubahanuni nabazot. This you can test me. You give your ma'asir and you see if you're not going to become wealthy. And it works. The secret of success is, of course, in the ma'asir. No coincidence. If you take the word ma'asir, Mem, Ayin, Sin, Resh, and you just do the math of Gematria, it equals 610. Now that number is not significant. If I said 613, you would have got excited. Oh, 613, it's what? If I would have said 611, you would have got excited because that's Gematria Torah. But 610 doesn't talk to you. But wait, it should talk to you. Because if you take the three Shemot of Parnasa, Pe Aleph Yud, which is 91, Samech Aleph Lamed, which is 91, which together is 182, and Hatach, which is 428, is exactly 610, which is Gematria Ma'aser. That's why when you give the Ma'aser, it brings the Parnasa, because you're connecting without even you knowing what you're doing. You're connecting to those three Shemot. And this is just the tip of the iceberg of just one. It's scratching a surface. And look how much information already was garnered just by getting a few Shemot. And that's what it means when we say, V'nehiyeh anachnu yod'ei shemecha. We're praying to God, give us wisdom that we should know your names. Not that we want to use them necessarily, but we can understand Torah now in a much better way. Once you're Yod'ei Shemecha, you can be Lomdei Toratcha Lishma. It's a different way of learning Torah. Now we're Gemara Berachot, eye-opening. Now Mishnah Pirkei Avot, a Pasuk in the Torah, all these Pasukim that we were so, for, even the holiday of Pesach will never be the same. Now all these levels of Pshat, we're able to shine, Zohar is a shine, it's a light. We're able to shine the bright light of Zohar on them. Yi Ratzon, as we're coming closer to the holiday of Shavuot, we have to pray to Kadosh Baruch Hu that He should reveal to us all the aspects of Torah. Like David HaMelech said, Gal Einai, Ve'abita Niflaot Metoratecha. God, open my eyes, in order that I can see and fathom the wonders of the Torah. I pray that Be'azat Hashem, Zichut Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Zichut Rabbeinu Yitzhak Luria Ashkenazi, Amchune Arizal, Zechut Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, Zechut Rabbi Shalom Sharabi, and all the great Mekubalim, Zechutam Ya'amod Lanu Uzar'enu Adolam, Shalot Amush Torah Mepinu, Mepi Zar'enu, Mepi Zera Zar'enu, Me'ata Ba'ad Olam, Amen Ve'amen. רבי חנניה בן הקשיא אומר, עשה הקדוש ברוך הוא שכות ישראל, לפיך כדבר הזאת שנאמר, אדוני חפש למען צדקו, יגדיל תורה ויאדיר.